I look out and see a lot of teenagers, a lot of people in their 20s. Your generation is exposed probably to more things of all kinds than about any generation has been ever. There's also a lot out there that's trying to gain control of your minds. Now, they don't come up and say, "Can I control your mind?" But that's what they're trying to do. All kinds of teachings and all kinds of philosophies and all kinds of this's and that's, all kinds of forces. Humanism, it says man is supreme. Atheism says there is no God. Modernism, that says there's no supernatural or miraculous events. Situation ethics, that says if it feels good, do it. Evolution, that says man is just an animal and was a result of random processes. Islam, which says Christ was not the Son of God. New Age, mystical religions, teach reincarnation, talking with the dead. Then on top of all that, there is the pressure of worldliness and materialism that comes at us from every type of media imaginable. All of those are trying to take you away from the simplicity that's in Christ. All of those things are trying to pull you away from Christ. So what advice can we give you? What advice can the Bible give you? What advice does God give you? He addresses this, the Bible does, very directly. And while we think that many things are very, very new, and in some ways the applications are, some things don't change. And I know that because Solomon gives youth some great advice. And you've probably heard this advice before, but I hope I say something that you can take home with you that will be of great benefit. The text is the last two verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and the first verse of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Begins by saying this, "Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these God will bring you into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from your heart and put away evil from your flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult days come, and the years draw nigh when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" There's a number of things I'd like to emphasize here that I think is of great use to you. He first tells you to enjoy being young. Enjoy being young. God wants you to. He wants you to enjoy being young. Remember, Jesus said that He came to give us life and so that we could have it more abundantly. John 10:10. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 said, "God richly provides us with everything to enjoy." He wants you to enjoy your life. But Solomon here in Ecclesiastes says something with that I hope we don't miss. He says, enjoy your life, but realize God has set boundaries on how you can enjoy it. Yes, He wants you to enjoy it, but there's boundaries. He doesn't just let you enjoy it any old way the world might say to enjoy it. Because we have to give account for it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. "For we all," that's you and I and everybody, "must stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive those things done in the body, whether good or bad." So all of us here must stand before that judgment seat to make an account, to give an answer for how we've lived in this world. So yes, He wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to enjoy being young. Because it's a great time. It is a great time. And as I've told my eldest, anyway, I can pick on her, I guess, because she's here and she can't do anything about it. Don't try to grow up so fast. Enjoy being young. Sometimes being an adult is not any fun. I could probably have everybody in here that's an adult and they'd raise their hand and agree. Sometimes it's not. So Solomon says, enjoy being young while you're young. But just realize that there are limits and there are boundaries on how you are to enjoy being young. So he says, remove sorrow from your heart. Remove it. A lot of things you may be concerned about, Solomon says, don't be concerned about. There are things to be concerned about, but so many are not worth it. Remove that sorrow and vexation from your heart. Put evil away from your flesh, he says. Get rid of those sinful desires. Get rid of those type of things from your life. This is tremendous advice. Of course, not just for young people, but for everybody. But young people especially. Because it's when you're young, there are certain temptations that tend to come to you and entice you that not so prevalent the older you get. Yes, us older people have our temptations too, but sometimes they're quite different than what you experience. So Solomon says, remember that. Put away that vexation, put away those type of anxieties, put away those type of sorrows. And if you put sin out of your life, to the best of your ability, you will be getting rid of so much of that sorrow. When you think about your schoolmates and friends and so forth, think about how much of the sorrow and the difficult times they experience is all due to sin. And just think about, you know, your friends and people you hang with and so forth. Think about the problems they experience, the difficulties, the anxieties, and think about how much revolves around some sin in their life. Think about that for a minute. It's rather staggering, isn't it? Something that all of us have to think about. You know, youth with a whole life ahead of you can make some serious mistakes. Some of those mistakes, of course, some of those choices will follow you throughout life. Enjoy your life. God gave it to you to enjoy, and He wants you to find joy in it. But not without boundaries. And remember that sin is going to bring grief to you. It doesn't make any difference what sin it is. It will bring grief into your lives. So he says, remember now. There's the word of emphasis in chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. Why remember now? Why is that so important? It's the time to start remembering your Creator. Now's the time. Everyone here is pretty blessed, I think, because you come from families and homes that saw the importance of you coming to this type of get-together. And I hope one thing you take home with you is the fact that you're not alone. I know sometimes you think, wow, it's only me and a couple other folks, and that's it. You know, it's kind of us against the world. But look how many are here today. And came, I think, for the right reason. And I hope you've learned something today, too. You're not alone. You have people you can rely on. There are some good people in the world. You go to school with some good people. Solomon wants you to remember your Creator now. So while you're enjoying your life, don't forget to honor God at the same time. Don't forget to honor God. It should be done, though, before the sicknesses and infirmities and so forth of old age sets in. That's what the next six or seven verses in Ecclesiastes is about. Describes the aging process. Describes the aging process. How you can't do as much. Things hurt that didn't used to hurt. When you get older, there are just some things that are painful. You're doing them now, and it's so wonderful. You can go out and play basketball for hours and not have any repercussions whatsoever. I would be hospitalized. But not you. You can do it. He says, start to remember your Creator now before all the days of sickness and all the days of infirmities and all the days of pain start to set in. He ends that little section in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 6, by saying, remember your Creator before The silver cord is loose. The golden bowl is broken. The pitcher shattered at the fountain. The wheel broken at the well. All descriptions of death. Remember him now before that time. He says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. He says, that's why you need to remember it now. Remember your Creator now. In what ways do you need to do that? I wrote down three, and I think they are some of the most important. Why remember God in youth? Number one, because youth may be all the life that you have. I know we don't like to think about that. But youth may be all the life that you're given. None of us, of course, knows that. But everyone in here knows someone that died as a teenager. And that was all the life that they had given. That was it. That was all the life that they had. Because we don't have any guarantees of living to be 60 or 70 or 80. None whatsoever. We just simply don't have those guarantees. So why remember God in youth? Because that may be the only time you can remember God. There may not be any other opportunities. You know, the Bible describes death as riding on a pale horse. And death, of course, comes to us. And it does come to young people sometimes as well. Our life can be and appear as a vapor, like James says. Here for a while, then vanishes away. That's not a new thought. Job said pretty much the same thing. Job chapter 14, verse 2. He comes forth like a flower and fades away. He flies like a shadow and does not continue. Or he flees like a shadow. Bible says, Hebrews 9:27, that you and I have an appointment with death. And after that comes the judgment. Most of us, when I was a teenager, I never thought about dying as a teenager. Never thought about that. But Solomon says you need to think about that. And remember your Creator now, because that may be the only opportunity you have. Because how tragic it would be in being a teacher, and I know there's other teachers, we see people at school that are not thinking about those things. That are living their lives like there are no Creator, or there's not a Creator, there's no afterlife, there's nothing. They can live any way they want to. And how tragic that life would be if it was over, because they simply chose not to remember the Creator in the days of their youth. The second thing you need to remember God in youth, because your friends need you to be a Christian model. Very few public schools could you ever find in this country where the majority of the students were Christians. And I'm talking about real, true Christians. People that are following Christ. So therefore, your friends desperately need you to be that Christian model. Because you may be all they have. We read in our Bible, you know, the gospel according to Matthew, the gospel according to Mark, gospel according to Luke. What's the gospel according to Victoria? Or what's the gospel according to Melissa or whoever? How does that gospel read? How would that gospel read, and how would it appear? What's the gospel according to you? Because what do your friends see you living? How do they see you living? What is that gospel according to you? What's it like? Do they know you maybe attend some church somewhere but it doesn't affect your life at all? Or do they see you really putting it on the line, as we talked about earlier? You know, choosing to do what's good and what's right and what's true. Is that what they see? Is that your gospel? In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul wrote to Christians. He said this, beginning in verse 2. He says, you are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you're an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart. You are an epistle. And so what does it read like? What does your epistle read like? When people are reading you at school, What are they reading? What do they take from that? What do they see you doing? And how are you living? Are you remembering God in the days of your youth? Are you remembering your Creator in the days of your youth? Paul wrote Timothy, who was a fairly young man at that time, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, he says, "Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers." And he says in a number of ways, word, conduct, love, purity, spirit, faith. He says all of those ways, be an example to others. Be an example to them. They probably don't get it at home. They probably don't have much of an example at home of how to be a Christian. And maybe none of their other friends are Christians either, so it's up to you. You need to be writing an account of what the gospel is supposed to be like by your life. That would be the gospel according to you. Titus and other young men were advised in Titus chapter 2 to do the following. Titus chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. He says, "Likewise exhort the young men to be sober-minded in all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that one who is an opponent may be ashamed, having nothing evil to say of you." Can your classmates think of something evil to say against you? And I mean that's true. Obviously they can make up stuff, but I mean that's true. So what is the gospel according to you, and what does it look like? It's a very important question. Why remember God in youth? There are people that need you to be that example. They desperately need you to be that example. And the last and final thing is, why remember God in youth? Because it's in the days of your youth when habits are formed. And think about that. It's easier to form good habits while you're young than wait until you're 60 or 70 to form them. I know that's true because all you have to do is ask someone that smoked for 50 years. Ask them how easy it is to stop. Or ask somebody that's drank for decades, how easy it is to stop. Not easy at all. It's easier to form good habits while you're young, because when you're old, it becomes very, very difficult. Change is difficult. Change is difficult for anybody. But the Bible says, if you want to be what God wants you to be, change is absolutely essential. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Romans 6:1. God forbid. We have to break bad habits, regardless of what those bad habits are. It's tough. It's tough to change bad habits. It can be done. It's extremely hard, though. When the writer of Hebrews addressed those Christians, he wrote in Hebrews 3, verses 12 and 13, the following. He says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." The longer you're involved in sin, the harder it is to give it up. So Solomon cautions youth there in Ecclesiastes, don't get started in the first place. And that way you'll never have to break that later on. Because the longer you're in it, the longer you're in it, the more you do it, the harder it becomes to break that sinful lifestyle. So if you want to serve God and serve Him well, choose good habits while you're young. And one thing that's as important as anything else, maybe more important, is being with fellow Christians as often as you can. There's a lot of bad influences out in the world, so the more you're with good people, the better your life is going to be. Because you're going to be around people that have good habits, and so you're going to see them have good habits and good lifestyles. And so by being around them, you can become much stronger. And as you become stronger, then that gospel that other people read will be a gospel that they want to have a part of. That gospel according to you. There's a lot of other good reasons for remembering God in youth, but those three I think are very, very important. You can have a very positive influence on your friends and your family, you know, at your school, by relying on one another, by remembering God while you're young, by not starting bad habits, but instead starting good habits. All of those things are important. And remember, don't think, well, I'm going to start being a faithful Christian when I'm 40, or even when I'm 30, or 25, or whenever. Please, Solomon says, start it now. Do it now. Waiting is always a dangerous thing to do, simply because you and I don't know the future. We may be here. You probably will be here. But basing something on probably is never a good idea. Solomon finishes that tremendous book by writing these words. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You know, Solomon has went through a lot in this book that's recorded, probably over a space of a number of years. He says, here is the conclusion that I come up with. He says, fear God, reverence Him in every way, and keep His commandments, for this is man's all. That's the New King James translation. For this is man's all. What's life about? Well, that's it. Fear God and keep His commandments. What else is important in life? There isn't anything. That's it. You want to sum up life in a short way, in a way that everybody can remember, it's very easy. Reverence God and keep His commandments. For that's what life is all about. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil. And that's how Solomon ends that tremendous book. He wants youth to know how vitally important it is to enjoy life, but remember that God judges you on how you enjoy it. There are boundaries. But He wants you to have a joyful life. Start remembering Him now while you're young. Start forming good habits while you're young. So that gospel that other people read, that gospel according to you, is one that not only God approves of, but God enjoys and that others will want to have. We need to live in such a way that other people will want what we have. And of course, that begins by experiencing that new birth, the one talked about in a number of places in the Bible, but I started in Romans chapter 6. That whole chapter is about that. How they, from the heart, obeyed that form of doctrine. How they were baptized into His death. That whole chapter talks about that great experience. The same experience that Nicodemus was told about. And except ye be born of water and the Spirit, you can't enter the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, we do have to experience that new birth. We have to believe that Christ is the Messiah, and that not only did He die on the cross, but that He rose from the dead. We don't serve a dead King. We serve one that's alive. And it's that faith that causes us to repent. There's the change that's so hard. Turning your life over to Christ, that's difficult at any age. But it's easier when you're young to start that life. To make that great confession, and that's the most natural thing in the world. Once you decide to turn your life over to Christ, making confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Anointed One, the Messiah, and that He rose from the dead, that's the most natural thing in the world. And then we have our sins washed away. We have that old man, Romans 6:6, that's gone. The old man is done away with when we're baptized into His death. And then we're raised a new man, a new creation, a new creature. And what a wonderful passage that is for one and all, especially for young people, to remember. David's going to lead us in an invitation song in just a moment. And if you have that desire to experience a new birth or ask for prayers of the congregation, we encourage you to do that as David leads us in this next song.